Thank you. Again, we come to this study of ours in Matthew chapter 26. And for those of you who are listening in, we'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to that portion, Matthew 26, and we're reading from verse 36. We're dealing with the question of our Lord in his final, complete submission to the will of his Father. This is a tremendous portion of Scripture. I question whether any human mind or heart can begin to appreciate what our Savior went through in the Garden of Gethsemane as well as at the cross. For the battle was won at the cross in Gethsemane. When he went to the cross, he went as a king. He went with a calmness. In fact, he was the only one who was at peace, was filled with calmness and fortitude at the cross. We'll see that when we go further into this 26th and 27th chapters of Matthew. We were taken up where our Lord had told his disciples that night they not only would be offended, but they would be scattered abroad. They'd be scattered, all of them, and leave him alone. And yet he could say in John's Gospel, "Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me." And then you have Peter in his boldness, and bless his heart, he believed exactly what he said. He meant every word of it, that he would die for the Savior. He would not deny me. He'd rather die than deny him, which of course he didn't know Peter. Now we come to verse 36 again. "Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith to the disciples, Sit you here while I go and pray yonder. He took with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he to them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. You tarry here and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh to the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and said to Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour, and so on?" Let me just stop again and refresh your memory of yesterday's lesson. When I speak of the fact that here we have our Lord's final submission to the will of his Father. All through our Lord's life, it was very evident, even from the time he was a boy, 12 years of age, when he said in Luke chapter 2, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" And all the way through, he could say, I do nothing of myself. What I see my Father do, that's what I do. The words I speak are not mine, they're my Father's. I do always the things that please him. Now he's faced with a cross. In a few hours he's going to be crucified. He's going to become that terrible thing called sin. And I read here, he said, "My soul is exceeding troubled even unto death." I'm not going to repeat what I said in our last lesson, except for us to realize the tremendous thing that was upon our heart. You remember in Luke's Gospel, we read that he shed, as it were, great drops of blood, and that an angel came and strengthened him. Now, this is Luke's Gospel, which deals with him as a man in the midst of men. You do not find this in Matthew's Gospel, because in Matthew he's the king. You have these various testimonies concerning of our Savior, which fit the Gospel, or the testimony which is given. Now, after having prayed this, he came back to his disciples in verses 40 and 41, and he said to Peter, now remember, Peter was the one who said, "Lord, I'd rather die than deny you." Now I find him sleeping. "Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Oh, how easy it is to sleep instead of praying. Isn't that true with you, my friend? Isn't it true with me? You and I say we're going to have a little time waiting upon the Lord. We're going to watch with him. And like Peter, James, and John, we fall asleep. It's so easy to fall asleep. Even though you may have a desire to pray and to wait upon the Lord, how easy it is for the body to sleep. And the Lord Jesus has said one question, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour? You say you would die for me and die with me, Peter? couldn't you watch with me just 1 hour? You see, friends, when our Savior was in the Garden of Gethsemane, in his final surrender to the will of his Father, he was alone. When he died on the cross, he was alone. His disciples had forsaken him and fled. And he told John to take his mother, you remember, to his own home. Alone he died. As Hebrews 1:3 says, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And then he goes on to say, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Spirit indeed is willing. You want to pray, but the flesh is weak. And that's true today, is it not? And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. You remember in John's Gospel, chapter 18, when Peter took a sword and cut the man's ear off, Jesus said, shall I not drink the cup my Father hath given me to drink? You see, he'd already had the victory in the Garden of Gethsemane. And when they came to take Jesus, as we shall see in a few moments, our Lord was not one who was discouraged or disheartened. He'd already won the battle. He poured out his soul unto death. His Father's will was paramount, preeminent. Oh, would indeed that the will of God might be that for you and for me. So he went the second time. My Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Three times our Lord came in the presence of his Father, acknowledged his absolute, complete obedience to the will of his Father, even though it meant a cross, even though it meant being an accursed thing. And then I read, then cometh he to his disciples and said to them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Oh, the omniscience of our Savior. How he knew what was going to take place. When I read these passages, and you'll pardon me for bringing this up, but when I read such passages as the first part of this 26th chapter of Matthew, when he arranged the time of his death, he arranged the manner of his death, his enemies did not arrange the time, and they did not arrange the manner of his death. He did that. And here it is again, behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. You remember all through John's Gospel, from chapter 2 on, mine hour is not yet come. Mine hour is not yet come. All through our Lord's life, he was moving toward this hour. And here you have him saying, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Now, personally, I wouldn't be dogmatic on this, but personally I believe that the Lord Jesus said, now, go ahead and finish your nap. Take your sleep. You'll need it. You'll need it tonight. So take your sleep. And after they'd had their rest, he said, arise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Which leads us from verse 47 right through chapter 27, 61, where we have our Lord rejected and crucified. This is the second main thing in this passage. The first one was the preparation for his death. And now we have the rejection and crucifixion of our Savior. Now from 47 to 56, we have the arrest. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, Master, or hail, Rabbi, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off the ear. Then said Jesus on him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are you come out, as against a thief, with swords and staves to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hand on me. But all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Now let me just spend a moment here with dealing with the arrest of our Savior. You will notice two things especially. The satanic energy given to Judas. Remember that Judas now is under the authority and power of Satan. In the Gospel through John, you remember when he took the sop from our Savior, he made his decision to go ahead and betray his Lord. And Jesus said, What you do now, do quickly. And I read, The devil entered into Judas Iscariot. In John chapter 6, at the end of the chapter, I have chosen you 12, but one of you is a devil. Judas didn't know that. But the night, this night, this last night of our Lord on earth, he determined to betray his Lord. Sold him for 30 pieces of silver. And now he comes with the crowd to take our Savior. I don't know whether Judas himself realized the enormity of his sin. There may have been an idea in his head that when he sold his Lord for 30 pieces, that somehow or another Jesus would either perform a miracle or escape out of their hands. He had done this before. You remember in Luke chapter 4, they tried to throw him over a cliff, and the Lord just went through their midst. In John chapter 8, at the end of the chapter, they picked up stones to stone him. Likewise in chapter 10 of John, they picked up stones to stone him, to kill him. Each time, he wasn't stoned. No, I tell you again, Jesus arranged the time and the manner of his death. And Judas, I believe, thought that the Lord in some way would do the same thing. Now, I'm not going to be dogmatic on that. I'm just suggesting this. Because when afterwards I find that Judas went out, threw the money down to the priest and said, I betrayed innocent blood. He went out and hanged himself. But Judas came with the crowd and he said, I'll tell you, the one who is Jesus, the one whom I kiss, he's the one. And you remember in the psalmist, in prophesying about that, spoke of the fact, it was a friend who betrayed me, a one who ate with me and supped with me. It wasn't an enemy, it was a friend, right close to me. Even way back 1,000 years B.C., the Spirit of God through the prophets of old, declared how and who would betray him. And as you have it, of course, in the 22nd and 69th Psalm, how he would die. And remember, way back there, 1,000 years B.C., even before the Jews, when the Jews were under David's reign and Solomon's reign, no thought of being under the reign of some foreign power. They prophesied the experience of one crucified, an unknown punishment. It came into vogue in the time of the Roman Empire. So we have it here. The one whom I shall kiss will be he. He it is. He's the one. And then I read that one drew out his sword and struck the high priest's servant and smote off his ear. Now when you come to John again, chapter 18, you can find it was Peter who did that. There, Peter again. Now if Satan's energy is manifested through Judas, we see the energy of the flesh through Peter. If I may go back to John 18, when Jesus said to them, Whom seek ye? They say, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am. And when he said, I am, they all fell backward to the ground, manifestation of the power of God. Then Peter drew out his sword and chopped the fellow's ear off. Now don't tell me that Peter was a good swordsman. Peter was a fisherman, but not a swordsman. And I'm of the opinion that Peter wailed away to cut the fellow's head off. And all he got was the ear. And by the way, may I inject here, wasn't it wonderful? Jesus stooped down, picked the ear up, and put it back on the man and healed him. The last miracle before the cross, he healed a man who had been damaged by one of his disciples. But what I'm after here especially was the energy of the flesh. Oh, how easy it is for us Christians to do just that thing. We want to do something for the Lord, and we're like Peter. We're ready to fight for the Lord, oh yes, but we're not ready to yield to him. And we must guard ourselves in our service of the Lord against the flesh. The flesh loves to do things. We like to do things in the energy of the flesh. In fact, I'm of the persuasion there's a great deal that is called Christian service that is done in the energy of the flesh. I say again, Peter would die for his Lord, but he couldn't control the flesh. He wasn't completely yielded to the Lord. And I say that's true today, and I would plead with those of you who are Christians. I know you're ready, you would ready to defend your Savior. Yes, sir, we'll defend him. We'll defend his word. We'll defend his gospel. But will I yield my whole life over to him? Will you? I just suggest this because we have the story of Peter in the energy of the flesh seeking to defend his Savior. And for, you know, whether you like it or not, I kind of like Peter. Peter's like so many of us. We say a lot, I will die for you, I'll die rather than deny you. He pulls his sword off and cuts the fellow's ear off. But the next thing you find him running away. When the chips were down, Peter ran with the other disciples. My Christian friend, are you yielded to the will of God? Are you yielded to your Savior? Is your service for the Lord the outflow of your love for him? Or do you serve to get the pat on the back from some other Christian? Do you serve the Lord just because you love the Savior? Do you serve the Lord because you love men and women? Do you serve him because you've got a passion for Christ and a compassion for lost men and women? God grant that you and I will be in that place where he will be magnified in all that we are and in all that we do. And the Lord bless you today for his name's sake.